Welcome to the Coaching Up Podcast, shining a light on sports and building up the community of those within it. Here are your hosts, Anthony Davis and Nikki Murphy.
All right, Nikki, what is going on today? How are you?
I'm good. Not as good as you, though.
That was quite the sigh over there when I asked you. You were like, everything's good.
Well, you know, whenever I get to a place, I feel like I can relax for however long that place has me for a little bit. It's going from one place to the other place to the other place.
Well, this is relaxing for me. This might be my most relaxing thing I've done all day. But earlier, I was pretty relaxed then. Now I'm chilling.
Chilling, watching the O's.
Yep. Currently winning 42.
Get their W.
So I'm in a good mood so far.
And rumor has it that you're kind of a big deal now, coach. In the world of lifetime achievement, is that?
I guess I am. I mean, you know.
No, oh, you definitely are.
Yeah, no, I was recognized by Stevenson University. So we went to Villa Julie, which turned into Stevenson, and I served on their alumni board for 12 or 13 years. I forget. It kind of all runs together.
Yeah. But, I was a long time.
I was a chair of one of their events committees, and then I was the VP for a couple of years, and I was president for a few years, I'd say, and then I was on their board of trustees for a couple of years. And
wow.
I stepped down after about 12 or 13 years of helping them out on the boards. And
was that during the time that they were moving to the new campus and changing their name? I mean,
I started when it was, I believe it was already Stevenson when I joined the board.
Okay.
It was right into it.
Yeah.
So I was the president of my class the year that Dr. Manning, the new president, took over. So I had to kind of do that transition. And then I kind of helped the transition to Stevenson University from Villa Julie. So I was recognized with the 2024 Alumni Loyalty Award, which will be given to me at commencement in May. So
Do you have to make a speech at commencement?
I do not believe that a speech is going to be on the docket. However, I do not shy away from speeches.
Would you like to thank anyone now? Did you prepare something?
I'd like to thank Lynn's entire family, Dr. Lynn. I've talked in front of all of her family before at Oakcrest, so they know. So, I mean, it's a huge honor. I'm honored and
touched
that they would consider me for one of these awards. They give three awards.
That's a big deal.
They give three awards annually. So there's obviously a bunch of alumni. I think one of the state delegates is receiving one of the other awards.
Wow.
So yeah, it's pretty cool. And
so you're going to be sitting shoulder to shoulder with some big dogs.
Yeah, I got some things to say to some of the politicians right now too.
Could you drop the podcast?
If I had a microphone on that stage, Coaching Up would be up there.
Should we record live from the commencement?
Would be awesome. And then I would also say something about both Tempo Brothers.
Of course. Should we have them cater the event?
I mean, we might as well just have the event in that awesome room they have upstairs for teams.
Yes. Live streaming.
I mean, I've said, they have their own bathrooms. It's perfect for sports.
We could do a viewing party. Do they live stream those commencements?
They do. It is being live streamed. So I get three tickets and the rest is being live streamed. So where are your people going to go?
I had to tell my mom.
I said, yeah, I get three tickets. So it's Christine and the kids, you know.
Oh, that's awkward.
I don't think she cared. I think she was cool with it. She's like, all right. And the rest of it's live streamed. So
your kids are going to sit through commencement, huh?
Well, I mean, at least I think I might be first, and then they might check out.
Skedaddle.
Get the hell out of here. But I think Christine.
Go enjoy the campus, run around a little bit.
Yeah, I think Christine would want to do dinner or something afterwards. So we're going to make a little night out of it. But now, huge honor. You know,
huge honor.
We don't do I don't do things for accolades. I don't. You know, it's not something.
Yeah,
huge,
that stuff you just don't, right?
No,
but
you
it's
do
nice.
It for the love. You know, I've always been. I put it on my Facebook page. So for those of you that follow me on Facebook, I'm just a firm believer. And if a place or people put time and invest time and energy into you, that you really should give back. And I've always thought that way. So that's why I'm so involved at Stevenson and so involved at Calvert Hall. And obviously, you know, the people that have meant something to me in my life, they know it. I don't shy away from, you know, letting people know that they mean something to me and showing the different places that have meant a lot to me that, you know, I can give back and and help them out as well. So I think that's the lesson here for me.
For sure. If you can share that message, because I don't think that's as common as it could be.
I mean, it's the same kind of thing with coaching, to be honest. I mean, like, I mean, I had great coaching, you know, my dad and a bunch of others growing up. So giving back that way to the kids, you know, is another way of me investing in kind of what was invested in me back in the day, too. So it all goes hand in hand. So I'm just, like I said, I'm super honored and touched that I would be thought of in that light. So it'll be cool to, you know, have a day about me for a little bit, which is kind of nice. So.
It is.
Like I said,
weird.
You don't do it for the accolades, but you do take them.
Yeah, it's weird.
You take them when they come, right?
It's nice. So we, on this episode, we interviewed a girl that is on my lacrosse team, and she plays soccer with Celia. And in the episode, we talked about my number and Addie's number. But Anthony, we need to know your number. So what is your number today?
A lot of thought has gone into this number because so last week was a very, very hard week for me. We got some, I'm not going to get into it, but my company got some weird news last week with something going on with the Maryland State Senate passing bills that, you know, don't really make a whole lot of sense and kind of can affect my company. They have not yet, but can. You know, it was just a little trying. I mean, I think we're all going to be okay and things are going to work out, which is great. So that kind of had me a little down the dumps, but then I got the call from Stevenson and had a really good weekend with Megan. We had a softball clinic.
Yeah.
You know, it went really well. All the coaches that ran it with me and we had a great time and the girls had a blast. And Kevin had a couple baseball games. He got a couple of big hits and so we had a pretty good weekend. And then yesterday Kevin had a little medical scare where he might have, you know, might have passed out in the house, but I laugh now. It wasn't funny then, but he's okay.
Oh my goodness.
He's okay. It was just something, I think hot to cold after a shower and he just couldn't handle it and he kind of dropped like a lead balloon upstairs, which
so was scary.
Yeah, so I mean, all of that, I'm still at a 90. Like, you can't
really.
I mean, look.
Wow, you bounce back.
Life happens. You can't. I can't dim my light.
Can't hold you down.
Yeah, you can't dim my light too much. So, all you take the good with the bad. I think that's another good lesson. It's life lessons from Anthony here on the Coaching Up podcast.
Now, pull up a sofa.
You take the good with the bad, and you hope that the good outweighs the bad, right? So,
gosh,
that's kind of where I'm at right now. So I'll take it. We'll go 90. I'm going to say 90. I was going to say 88, but we're going to bump it. Orioles are winning 4-2. 90.
Ah, goodness. That's good. I mean, that's a lot going on, Coach. I'm glad you're at a 90 because I might have had to come over and check in with you and make sure you're doing okay. You and Kev.
Yeah, we had a
Christine,
had a
are you okay, guys?
We had to practice our deep breathing here yesterday.
Yeah, like, deep breaths.
Everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. So, no, we're good.
Well, 90's good. And
it wasn't in the parenting handbook what happened yesterday.
It never is.
They do not tell you about super hot showers and how it mixes with air conditioning, but... We got it now. We understand. Yes.
Lessons were learned.
Should have been chapter 7, paragraph 2, subsection B, but it was not in there.
No, definitely not. Yeah. So did you want to talk about a feedback form before we get into the, explaining
sure.
the episodes?
So as everybody knows, we put out a survey to Coaching Up Nation and asking you all kind of for feedback and we really like hearing from you. So it's awesome that, you know, we've gotten, I believe, a bunch of these that we're just going to, we're going to highlight one or two of them every time just to kind of let everybody know what everybody's thinking. Cause we're sure that, you know, even if you don't want to share what's going on, somebody will and it'll resonate. Right. So like a lot of you are probably feeling the same way. So what do we got today, Nikki? What do we got?
Okay. So this form is from someone who lives in Maryland and their kid is 13 to 14 years old. Plays baseball. Uh-oh. And the goal of that is to play in high school. And the listener mentions with what struggles they face as a parent of this athlete. They are watching coaches play their kids over every other kid and only coaching their kid one-on-one. And said if there's anything that they could change, they said schedules and keeping sports to their season. So I would assume that we could all relate to those. And I think last week we talked about that a little bit, like the the struggles of a coach coaching your own kid. And this one was a parent on the sideline watching that coach's kid get a lot of attention.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, that's tricky.
Yeah, I think that this one, I mean, you can obviously tell that this person's a fan of the podcast because pretty much everything they said is sort of what, I mean, what I stand by. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah. Was it you?
No, I did not fill this out. And when you said 15 to 14 year old Maryland baseball, I kind of got a little scared. Like, oh, which one of my former players is talking?
Oh, but my God.
That's all, like, honestly, I won't toot my horn too much ever and say that I know have all the answers, but I do not do the things that they said in this post. So
yes,
I will say
so
that.
You
like,
know.
I mean, literally, I went the opposite direction. I didn't play my son. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, it's got to be tough as a parent on the sideline watching a coach. I mean, you know, it happens. You give your kid attention. I get it. You know, I have to put my mom hat on a lot for that. It's not like lacrosse related usually. It's like, how can we calm, you know, my kid down? But it's got to be hard if it's over and over again and it's just tuned in to their own kid. And then what probably fuels the fire is that maybe their kid needs attention, right?
Yeah.
And why are we here? Maybe we're paying money for this and we're dedicating our time. You know, what are we getting back?
Well, I think
I get that lens.
I think you hit both nails on the head. I think the first thing is, in my opinion, to be an effective coach, you have to take your emotions out.
Yeah.
Especially when you're coaching your own kid. Like, you have to take your emotions out, but a parent can't, right? So, like, a parent's not going to take their emotions out. So, I totally understand, you know, where they would kind of interject themselves into that situation. And also the money thing. So, you know, here a parent is paying the same thing that everybody else is paying, right? Well, to be on that team, and, you know, they're seeing who they think is an inferior player to their maybe their own kid or somebody else. When in actuality, are they? You know what I mean? Like, are they really seeing the coach's kid as inferior, or do they, and I don't mean this in a derogatory way, but do they know what they're looking at? So, you know, a lot of the times, like, some of these parents, and I'm not, again, not calling this particular parent out, you know, they don't come to games or they don't come to practices, they come to games, right? And for me, playing time was always sort of earned at practice. So if a parent is not seeing, you know, what's going on the field during practices, maybe they don't have a full picture of what's going on. Now, there are parents that come to every practice and they know a lot, and they honestly do have a good pulse, finger on the pulse of what's going on. And I get that. But again, a coach has to take the emotions out. I think parents are still emotional toward their own kid, which is understandable.
Totally understandable.
Yeah.
But it's just being mindful of those emotions, I think, and then just trying to understand where they're coming from. You know, a lot of them come from that time and money piece. And is my kid happy or is my kid getting better? You know?
Yeah. And I think that whole thing,
if the answer is no to both, then the emotions are going to be heightened. Yeah.
Well, and I think the end goal of wanting to play in high school, I think that that's good. I think, you know, the key to remember is, even if your kid's not getting a lot of time in games, practice is huge far as like a development thing. I think I saw, do you know REM, a coach of the UConn women's team? I saw something on him the other day saying that he used to coach his son's AAU basketball team, and he had kids leaving because he would practice 4 days a week and only play 2 games a week. And kids were looking to play 5 games
they wanted it
only
flipped.
Practice once. But he always said, you know, if you go to Europe and you look at how they play, they practice way more than they play games. And you always want to know, like, in soccer and basketball, even in baseball, why are the foreign players more skilled at their particular sport? And his point was, they practice a hell of a lot more than we do over here. Like, we're focused on game situation, and don't get me wrong, it's important, but, you know, building the skills of practice is important. So, like, when these kids go off for their high school teams, you know, them playing in practice is really going to help them out.
Yeah, it's tricky because no one is above the fundamentals in any sport. And I think that at a certain age, we feel like we are.
Yep.
And I know my college girls, I had to have a conversation with one team during one season. We were working on the basics of checking, and they were just like laughing at the drill. And I was like, you guys know where I got this drill from? a Division I team who does this all the time. So you know,
ladies.
So get your act together. You know what I mean? Like,
stop laughing,
like
ladies.
You're not above this.
This is
needed. This is what we need to do. And it's just interesting to, it really is a mindset switch. Like, you know, you really need to practice. And I love to play games to see what we need to practice on,
oh,
right?
Yeah,
so like super helpful that you could do both, but very interesting mindset
switch.
I'm not
diminishing the game thing at all, but you know, the practice is huge and hugely important.
That's right.
And also to the end of that comment that they made about, you know, each sport having its own season. I mean, preach. I mean, that's where I'm at. Like I believe we used to have that and we don't have it anymore. And, you know, I like to blame soccer because they invent sports like futsal and sand soccer. And I think they have like cafeteria floor soccer and whatever else they want to do. But it's, you know, baseball has fall ball now. So like, you know, we're not immune to it. You know, lacrosse, they go in, you know, all the seasons now. They go fall ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because to the point that you had just mentioned, you know, you need to practice to get better at your craft. And if you take a season off, I think the thought is you're going to be behind.
Yep.
If you're playing against teams that don't take a season off. And so there's this constant, I think it's like living through fear, like is it called scarcity or something like that? It's like this mindset of like fear.
Yep.
And, you know, I get it, right? But it's not, it's a struggle. And I mean, I'm not... You know, I'm living in it right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not immune. Like,
no, I don't know the answer.
As a baseball coach, I think for me, the struggle was, okay, so fall ball baseball, and this is not a shock to anyone who knows me. I can't stand fall baseball or softball. It just, it's the worst. And the reason is because it's soccer season, it's football season, it's whatever, right?
Yeah.
So like you try to put a team on the field and you never know who's coming.
Yeah,
and as a coach, I want these kids to play other sports,
right.
So I'm not mad at them. However, if you don't put a team in fall baseball, just from the third baseball out there, the kids that don't play other sports and only focus on baseball, if you as a coach don't have a fall baseball team, they're going to find a fall baseball team, and the chances you're going to lose the kid, right? So
that's right.
There's a lot that goes into it. It's not just, you know,
It's
keeping up with the Joneses, but it's also making sure that everyone on your team is happy. And it sucks because you not only have to recruit kids to play for you, you have to constantly be recruiting them for them to stay.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's almost this whole NIL transfer portal stuff that the colleges are dealing with. Like, I've heard many college coaches say, I recruit kids to get them to come to the institution. Then I got to keep them here. Like, I got to get their butt the entire 4 years to keep them here.
Yeah.
And it's very getting like that in travel sports and club sports, because if you don't offer them something that somebody else is offering them, not money. I mean, I'm not getting crazy yet, but time and leagues or playing time, they're going to find it somewhere else.
Yeah. The clubs are definitely stressing out to have that social media presence and, you know, give the kids swag and, you know, please everybody, keep everybody happy, give everybody what they want. It's that alone is taxing on the mental health, I think. And then I was just talking to a client today of a lacrosse training, a mom of a girl that I coach. And we were just talking about, you know, the grass isn't always greener the other side. And oftentimes it's not, you know, none of them are green. So you leave and then you're thinking you're going to get XYZ and then it doesn't happen. And I don't have any answers, but I do know that it's a situation. And like you said, the NIL and college, you know, I coach at a community college, so I would only have kids a max of 2 years. So I was like constantly feeling that. I know what that's like. And it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah. Cause so, I mean, at the college level, it's your job, right? So if you don't put,
it's your job.
If you don't
it's
put a competitive team on the field, you're going to lose your job. And, if people are constantly leaving in this transfer portal, I mean, you're used to having the kids for 2 years, but now like, what if they want to leave after one? Now you're like, now what do I do?
Now what do you do?
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's a situation. Yeah. It really is. And I know as a coach, you want to be secure and feel good about like, well, this is my culture. These are my values. And I get that. But you know, it's just this weird, you got to find, I don't know, you got to find the right people for your program. And, it's hard. It's really hard.
So thank you to whoever submitted that. I mean, that, yeah. You know, honestly, I feel for you. And unfortunately, I don't think
I feel it.
I mean, we all feel it. I don't think that there's a end to that. I think that just it's kind of the adapt or die approach, in my opinion. Like, I feel like,
you know what I think, Anthony, this is what I think, just thinking out loud here. I think that our kids are going to change the next generation. Do you know what I'm saying? They're going to be the ones to be like, yeah, we're not doing that because I did that and that didn't work. You know, maybe.
Right. I mean, it could be a good burn,
I don't know.
Burning out, you know, because yeah, it's funny because like we weren't like that when we were kids and now our kids are like that. So it's like.
Yeah. So I feel like it's a generational shift possibly.
Yeah.
That might come. And, you know, and then we're going to be older, right? We're going to be watching that. And I think we just need to be mindful of just loving that space and not crushing it and be like, well, back in our day, we had eight games in a weekend. Well, you know what? We were dumb. So what the heck? Let's just get off their backs a little bit.
Baseball in the snow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Should we talk about this episode?
Yeah, so Nikki's going rogue this episode, guys. She left good old Anthony in the dust. No, I'm just kidding.
So Nikki,
and I'm just going to give you your flowers here for a second. I know you didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I feel like, you know, the kids that you coach are blessed to have you. And I mean that, because not only for just X's and O's on the field, but what you do with the kids mentally and what they're just their state of being, I think is huge. And you and Coach A, who we went to school with too, again, all of our friends on the podcast, that deal with the younger generation, especially our guest this week on the podcast, Addison Estes, you guys did a fantastic job with her, and it's not something that's isolated. I've heard you talk about, you know, a few of your players, you know, and struggles that they've had and just how you deal with it, how there were warning signs or how there were, I guess, maybe not warning signs, but tellers, right, where you could tell that there was something going on and you as a coach needed to get involved. So it may have been something that was affecting the field, but it also, you know, was something that was affecting the kid, right? So, and something that's affecting her well-being, that you needed to be a part of it as a coach, not just, again, as her coach, but as a mentor and somebody that she could look up. So kudos to you and Coach Adrian. And obviously, you know how I feel, you know, about you as a person, as you as a coach. And I don't just team up with any coach on this podcast, you know what I'm saying? But also, you sent me the raw footage of this podcast, and you talk about tearing up. I mean, this strong young female athlete, Addie, I know her family fairly well through another group, just a huge group of people that we know. We go to the pool with them and just friends with her parents, but also just as a part of a big group. And she is just an amazingly strong kid to share what she shared with you on the podcast and just, you know, I can't begin to describe how many people I think she's going to affect just by what she said to you. And it's just immensely just the strength that she showed. And as I'm listening to it, like, I know Addie as a person just being around her, and she's just such a sweet kid. And it's like, to have her have the strength to do what she did on the podcast is just mind blowing. So I was super proud of her.
Super proud. I mean, the point of this podcast is to shine a light on the sports world, and we're open to any and all of it, right? So this wasn't on our radar. It was something that popped up for me and our team last week, and it is very new. But I was talking to her mom, because her mom was listening to the podcast about the refs and HOCO Boys Lacrosse League, and her son plays in there. And so she thought her son would be a good guest, and we are looking to have him on with their dad, which is awesome. But in talking at home, Addie overheard them and was adamant. She was like, I want to go into podcasts. I want to go into podcasts. And so we kind of just, our schedules aligned, and Addie and I were able to meet at Addie's house in her basement. And, you know, just shine a light on her journey. And like, to your point, Anthony, it's like, you know, her journey off the field directly impacts her performance on the field. And, You know, we need to allow these kids space to be seen, heard, and valued, and honor their journey. And the fact that Addie was so brave and courageous and well put together to be able to address our team with her journey and her story that stemmed from a concussion that she received in the fall from a soccer game that I was there to see, and Celia was playing, you know, at that time. So I was a witness to that concussion, and it wasn't, you know, it was just, she fell, she hit her head, and, you know, there's some contact from the other player, of course, but it, you know, it's just, you could see anyone doing that, right? But it she hit her head in a certain way, you know, at a certain angle, at a certain speed. And man, I mean, the journey that she's had with that has impacted every bit of her life off the field. In fact, she couldn't play sports until a few weeks ago. And this concussion happened in October of last year. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I was nervous. I was like, are you sure you want to get on the podcast? But she knows what a podcast is. She was super excited. Her family is just like in love with whatever she wants to do. They fully support her journey. And so Anthony and I were like, well, yeah, we'll give her space to do it. And I mean, I don't know. I just think it's so brave of her. And our hope, Anthony and I, is that we allow space for people to hear her from a parent's angle, a coach's angle, and a player's angle, and just be stronger because of it.
Addie, how are you doing today?
Good.
Addie and I are together on location in Addie's basement, and we're sharing a mic, right, Addie?
Yeah.
So we're going to see how this goes. So Addie, thanks for coming on. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
I'm 11 years old.
And what sports do you play?
I play lacrosse and soccer.
Okay. And Addie, question for you. So you know how in lacrosse we go around in the beginning of practice and we share our number? Well, we do that in our podcast too. So based on how your day is going, what is your number from 0 to 10? And do you have a story about it?
I'm probably a 10 right now because, well, today I went over to my mom and pop-ups and my mom's brother sadly passed away. So we are doing Bobby Bears for him, and we're going to give bears to everybody in the hospital.
That is amazing. And I have seen some things on your mom's social media pages about the Bobby Bear. So what do they do? So they collect teddy bears, and then what do they do with them?
My mom prints out a little tag that she puts around their neck. And today we put them all out in her living room and took a picture with us. And on Monday, we're going to go to Upper Chesapeake Hospital, and we're going to deliver them to everybody in the hospital.
That is incredible. What a way to honor your uncle's memory. So how long do you know that they've been doing that? I mean, it's been a while, right?
I don't know. 5 years, probably.
That's amazing. I know if I were in the hospital and someone delivered me a bear, I would be super thankful, and it would definitely put a smile on my face. Is that what happens?
Yes.
Yeah. That's awesome. Okay. So I will share my number. My number is also a 10. Because I'm here with you, and Addie is one of my best girls, and I'm super pumped and thankful to have you on. Addie is going to share her story with us today, and that's just so awesome. I also got to go for a walk today with a friend that I haven't talked to in a while, and that's so good for my mental health. And then I got to do a mindset session with a girl doing lacrosse. So it's like combining my two favorite things. So far today has been like the best. So tens all around, good energy. All right. So Addie wanted to come on. She was super excited because recently she has started to come out and share her story. She has quite a journey that she's been through since the fall of last year. And we kind of worked together as a team to share with our lacrosse team this past week about her story. And it was pretty awesome. So you were talking with your parents, and you were like, I want to come on this podcast, because you know what a podcast is, right?
Yeah.
What is the podcast that you listen to?
It's called the LOL Podcast.
And what is that all about?
They just talk about really random things, and it's really funny. You guys should check that out.
Is it kids?
I think they might be like 14.
Yeah.
But it's not inappropriate, and it's really funny.
It's video too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's super cool. Okay, so Addie, in lacrosse practice, we huddle around and we share our number. Addie and I met ahead of practice, and Addie opened up to me and talked to me about her story. And then together we came up with a plan to share with her team. So Addie, what can you tell us what led to you and I having a conversation, because it had to do with our last game on Saturday? Could you kind of set the stage with that?
So last Saturday I had a lacrosse game and I had a really, really, really hard time getting out of the car. I had very high anxiety and I just didn't want to get out of the car. So a lot of people helped me, honoring Miss Kate Clemmer.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
For helping me. I really appreciate it, and you've been such a help in this journey. And shout out to my dad, obviously, because he helped a lot. And my mom and everybody and my coaches and my team for being very supportive.
And so on Saturday, you were having a hard time getting out of the car to go onto the field. But with the help of Miss Kate and your dad, Coach Adrian came over as well. You were able to come onto the field and sit on the bench with us. But you weren't prepared to play a game that day. We feel like the win was you getting out of the car onto that bench that day, which is amazing. But the team saw that, right? And they were super concerned. And so Addie thought, you know, maybe if you shared your story with the team, they would have a better idea of what was going on with you. And we kind of talked ahead of time, Addie, about being a good teammate, right? And so Addie could be a good teammate to her team by telling them what was going on, and then also maybe what her team could help, and maybe things that they might say that wouldn't help, and have a conversation with that. So Addie came into the middle of our circle, super brave, super courageous, and she shared her story about what led to her having that anxiety on Saturday. So do you want to share your story with us?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
So back in October last year, I got a very, very severe concussion, and I was in and out of doctor's appointments in hospitals 2 to 3 months, and I didn't play sports that whole time, and I was feeling very nauseous and very
sick.
Right? Sick, yeah. Mm-hmm. And this led to no school, no sports for like about 2 months. I still wasn't really getting that much better, and I went to the hospital, and because I wasn't eating and very dehydrated because I wasn't eating, I have a fear of throwing up, and I thought if I ate, I would throw up, and so I didn't want to eat. So that caused my anxiety to go very, very high. And then I still wasn't eating. So then I had to go to this place called ERC, Eating Recovery Center, to help me. I was super duper sick and I wasn't eating. And I got diagnosed with ARFID, ARFID, Avoidance Restrictive Intake Disorder. I was at ERC from 8 in the morning to 6 at night, and I was eating all my meals there, and they helped me get better and gain back all the weight that I had lost and make me become less sick.
When did you start playing sports again?
Last week, because I got discharged from ERC about a month ago. And then I still was not doing that much activity because I wanted like my levels to be still correct.
It's probably hard to run and play on the team outside on the field when you're worried about getting the food that you need to fuel your tank, right? So was it your doctors that recommended that you just try to tiptoe back into your normal life, and once that felt good, you could start tiptoeing into sports?
Yes, that's correct.
So when we were talking with the team about this, you talked to the team about what they could do to be good teammates to you. So what were some of the things that you had mentioned to them?
Like maybe saying positive things, like for games, if I'm having a really hard time, like getting out of the car, I'm very anxious, saying like positive things about me is super helpful. Like, you're going to do great. Everything's going to be fine. Like, you got this.
And what are some things that you mentioned to your team that they, if they could avoid saying to be a good teammate, what would that be?
If like you had the stomach bug the last day, that's pretty triggering for me. Or if like somebody in your class threw up that day, or like you ate something that made you throw up, or basically anything that involves throw up is very triggering for me.
And how do you think the team received your information?
I think they received it very well, and I know that they're going to do a great job with it, and they're going to be super supportive.
One of the things that I thought was really cool is during this session, Addie, you were very willing to answer any questions that they had, and boy, did they have some questions. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
So can you talk to us from your point of view about that specifically, like the questions that they asked? Did you learn anything about that? Or maybe not even the questions that they asked, but what about, because some of them, because you were so vulnerable opening up and sharing your story, some of them became vulnerable and opened up to some of their stories. Is there anything in that environment that you appreciated or learned?
So one of the girls on my lacrosse team was open, and she has some of the same fears that I do about like getting sick. It just didn't go as far as I needed to go, which was very, very helpful to know that somebody also has the same struggles as me. And so it's really appreciative to me that people have anxiety too, and it's just not me standing alone.
And did you know those stories before you opened up?
I did not. So that helped me a lot.
Yeah. How else did opening up to your team help you?
I noticed after I opened up to my team, I was just like a whole weight had lifted off me. And even my coaches had said that I just played so much like freer, and it just helps knowing that they know what's going on instead of like being so concerned.
Right. Because one of the worries that you had is that you would have an episode in front of the team. Isn't that right? So that causes you anxiety. And so now that you have shared your story with the team, how is that helping your anxiety?
It's helping a lot, just knowing that they're there for me and they know what to do and what to not do.
And before you talked to them, how were you feeling with your anxiety?
I was pretty anxious every day going to lacrosse.
And now that you've opened up and talked to the team, are you still anxious?
For some things, but not as much as I used to be.
So would you recommend for someone who's listening, who maybe has some struggles similar to yours, or maybe even completely different, but maybe have a weight on their shoulders like you do, what would you recommend knowing what you have done on your journey to help them with theirs?
Whatever comes in your way, you can get through. I know that some days are going to be super tough and some days are going to be a breeze, but you should appreciate everything that people have done for you, and I'm sure so many people are there to support you. In my life, I have so many people that support me, and I'm super, 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 super appreciative for that. And shout out to all my coaches and my family for helping me through this really hard journey.
So if you could give some pointers to a coach about what has helped you know, if there's some coaches listening that they have some kids that are on their teams that struggle with anxiety, maybe some things that your coaches have done that have helped, or some things that you think would be helpful, could you talk to those coaches?
Maybe just know what's best for them and know what they're going through is really hard for them. And whether it's like maybe giving them some space, or maybe it's checking in with them, or maybe it's letting others around you being aware, whatever just fits right for them.
Do you recommend coaches pulling one of their kids aside and asking them, I've noticed that you're a little stressed out there. Is there anything, what can I do to help? What do you think that would help start the conversation?
Maybe checking in with their families of what they're comfortable with, because if they're not ready to share their story yet, I wouldn't force it.
Yeah, and I noticed that with your journey and myself, Addie, specifically being your coach, I knew you were struggling and I knew a bit of your story, but I gave you space because I knew you weren't ready. And so that was hard for me as a coach, because I know you don't want attention for this, extra attention, right? You want to be treated like everybody else, and there's so much honor in that. But I also knew that you needed a little extra love, right? And but I didn't know how. So I just waited. And when you were ready, you reached out and we sat down. It was just you and I, and you just were so strong and confident in your story. And I learned so much from you in that hour. I was blown away, and I know that the rest of the coaches felt the same way, as well as the team. And I really do think that it was like, you were just such a good teammate to us. So after all of that was said and done, you said that you played free. Is there any other thoughts that you had, like in terms of how that helped you opening up when you were ready to your team?
Well, I know specifically, but I just know that a huge weight lifted off me.
I will say that. So it took about, what did you say, like 40 minutes, I think. Addie even came up to me afterwards and said, I'm so sorry for taking so much of the practice time up. And I said, no, don't you even apologize, right? Like, this is exactly what we needed as a team. And then we went into practice, right? And we did some skills. And I can't even tell you how confident you looked out there, how you were smiling. You were just playing free is what really it comes down to. And I knew in that moment, I was like, this is exactly what she needed, but also this is exactly what we needed as a team. Do you think that when we would sit in or stand in the beginning of practice and we would do our numbers, do you think that helped you to be able to open up to your team, having the opportunity that you knew that we always check in? Giving you a space to open up if you're willing. Did that help?
I wasn't really, to be honest, the complete honest about what numbers I had said. I would either say like an 8 or 9 when I was really a 2.
And why did you feel like you needed to say an 8 or a 9 and not a 2?
Because I really just didn't. I wasn't ready to share that story yet. And I didn't know how, and I didn't, again, want to draw attention.
So you knew that we were doing it. Did it give you anxiety thinking about that number, or were you pretty relaxed before you started opening up and sharing your story?
It gave me a little bit of anxiety, and I was just so ready to share my story. I was very excited before because I just wanted to get it over with. Yeah.
And you had shared your story with your classmates in school as well, right? So you had done that at least once, maybe twice before you shared it with us. So I felt like, man, you really knew your story by then. But you also mentioned that you have kind of like a team of professionals in your corner that you work with. Could you list that? Remember, you were listing it. Could you list those?
So at ERC, I had a team which had a psychiatrist, dietitian, a therapist, and... yeah, I think that's it. So coming out of ERC, they still wanted to make sure I had that help that I needed. So right now I have a psychiatrist, a dietitian, a nutritionist, and a therapist that I work with, and they're super supportive. Another shout out to them. They've helped me so much grow and learn.
So again, this all boils down to Saturday's game was tricky for you, right? And we all saw it. And so you had a session with your therapist, and I think you decided to come up with a plan, right? And in that plan was to talk to the team. Is that right?
Yeah.
So your mom looped me in to that. And then your therapist called me and we had a lovely conversation. Love her. And her and I came up with a possible plan that would work for you. And then from there, your mom and I lined up a time for us, you and I, to meet. So there was a lot of Addie controlling the situation, right? So you talked to your therapist. You weren't being placed into a situation that you felt uncomfortable. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So you had a lot of control, I think, in that. And then so when Addie and I sat down before practice, nobody was around. There was no teammates. We were on another field, and it was just her and I. And we wrote down a plan of what to say on a piece of paper. And when she went to go talk to the team, you read off of that piece of paper somewhat. I mean, you know your story, but just to kind of keep your thoughts in order, right? And actually, I had to go run to the car just now and get that piece of paper so that we could use that, but you barely used it. But just kind of pulling the curtain back a little bit to show that this wasn't just Addie one day saying, I want to talk to my team. You did a lot of work to get yourself there. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
So how many times did you think about your story, about how you were going to share it? Did you write it down? Did you think about it at home? Was it mainly you and your therapist working through it?
Yeah, it was mainly my therapist. We were working through it.
And when you did it with your classmates, did you also feel relieved?
Yes, very relieved, because at school, I felt like I was kind of lying to them. Not that I was, I just kind of felt like I was a little bit, saying where I was. I still had a concussion, but I mean, that kind of was true, but it also kind of wasn't, and I didn't feel like I was being totally truthful. So I thought it would be a good idea, and I get really, really anxious going to school. Like, it takes me about 40 minutes to get out of this. It's way better now, but it was really bad when I was first getting back into school by going to school. Like, my counselor, my teacher, and my mom, and my dad all had to help me get out of the car. Another shout-out to my counselor. She's been so great. And my teacher.
Let's just think about when you got your concussion. Because I remember when you got your concussion because, you know, Celia and you play on the same team. And I was videoing some of the game. And I remember you fell down and you hit your head on the ground. I think it was the back of your head. Mm-hmm. And I had it on video because I really thought you were going to score. And later that night, we were all together and you had a bad headache. And we were in a place that was kind of loud, like lots of noises. And I said, oh, you know what? I have it on video. Let's take a look. So it was it then that you thought, gosh, this might actually be a concussion?
I didn't really know fully what a concussion was until we went to the doctors the next morning. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I have a concussion. Like, this is serious.
It's interesting to understand the journey of a concussion because everybody's on their own journey. And you had never had one before. Some of us get concussions and we don't even know it. So what were some of the big symptoms that you had that you were like, oh goodness, this is definitely a concussion. And, you know, now you know. Yeah. What were some of those symptoms?
So luckily I never threw up on this whole journey, which is so crazy. And you know that your mind does crazy things. Mm-hmm. So one of the big symptoms that I had was nauseous, like a migraine, like a really bad migraine. just kind of everything looked white. And I wasn't remembering things. I was super duper dizzy.
How long were you out of school for your concussion?
So I was out for 2 weeks. Then my doctor told me that I should try and go back half day. And I only made it 30 minutes because I fell over, basically. So then I was out for another 4 or 5 weeks. And then I was going in half days all that week. And then I was out for a little bit again because those symptoms kept coming back. And then I went back to school for about 2 weeks, full days. And then I had to go to ERC.
That sounds like a very frustrating journey. How were your emotions during that time? Were you frustrated? Did your symptoms kept staying around?
At the beginning, I was happy to be out of school, but towards the end of the concussion, I was like, I really need to get back to school. Like, I'm missing so much. I want to be near my friends.
Do you think that staying home was the best thing for you, but you felt torn because you knew you needed to go to school?
Yes, I knew that it was the best thing for me because I couldn't even stand up. And I just felt very guilty that I was missing so much school and had to do so much work.
And how did your teachers help you in that journey?
They were super supportive. They gave me like extra help that I needed. And through this whole journey, I didn't have to do any makeup work. And when I was at ERC, I was at home and hospital. So I had a teacher that helped me through the computer and a tutor that helped me. So I did most of the work. So I was prepared when I went back to school.
Do you have any advice for parents of what to look out for their kids if they're on the fence, maybe show signs of a concussion?
Maybe just doing a little bit of research to know, okay, and put yourself in the right mindset of, okay, this might be serious. Let's take the concussion precaution.
Did you go to your normal doctor or did you go to a concussion specialist?
Yeah, so I went to my pediatrician first, and then she told me I needed to see she told me I needed to stay out of school. I definitely have a serious concussion. So then we went to the concussion specialist like every Friday, and then he was like, you still can't be in school, you still can't be in sports. That triggered my emotions. I was super duper mad because I wasn't able to play soccer during that time because it was soccer season, and I really wanted to get back with my friends.
And now that you're back, how do you feel? Because you probably aren't at full strength yet, right, from where you were in the fall. So how are you handling that piece of the journey?
I just know that I'm going to get back to where I was, and if I keep working hard and keep using my resources, I will eventually get better. And I'm just super thankful that I'm healthy now and that I'm not sick anymore.
I think also it was really helpful, Addie, for you to tell me as a coach where you would like to play for your position, where it made you the most comfortable based on your confidence with the game and your level of health. So that was a really, really helpful conversation to have. So I would suggest coaches asking, like, where do you feel most comfortable playing coming out of something like that? Because you want your kids to be comfortable going into that uncomfortable space.
Yeah, like for me, midfield wasn't the best option for me yet because I'm still not as fast as I was. I'm still not as strong as I was. And I feel like if I was running up and down this lacrosse field, I would get super tired. And, you know, just like that position really, like you have that one position that really isn't your thing. And that's for me defense. So I don't really know that I would be the happiest on defense and enjoy that moment on defense. So I found it very helpful when Coach Nikki asked me that question to know, okay, like, where's your most helpful position? And that really helped me.
Yeah, because full disclosure, I put you on defense the week before, didn't I?
Yeah.
But it was only to fully rotate because I want the girls to play different positions. And I also really thought you could play midfield, which I think is just so interesting that, you know, Addie's like telling me, okay, I really just need to play attack. And here I am putting, I put you on attack, but I also put you on defense and I wanted to put you in midfield. And I'm like, oh man, I just need to ask this girl, where do you want to play? You let me know. And then myself and Coach Jen and Coach Adrian will honor that. And with you opening up to your team now allows space for the girls to realize that we're just thankful that Addie's on the field playing with us. We don't really care where she plays. So if she only plays attack, we love that she's out there playing attack with us, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So with all of that being said, you have quite a journey and you've come a really long way in a short amount of time. Is there anything that you've learned about yourself through your journey so far?
That anyone going through a hard journey, and for me, telling myself that I can do hard things and knowing that I have done hard things and knowing that I can do hard things.
You certainly can and have, and we're super proud of you and super thankful that you wanted to come on and share your story. Is there anything else that you want to say? The floor is yours.
I'm just so grateful and so thankful for everybody that's been supporting me and helping me through this journey. I'm just so, so, so thankful. My mom, my dad, my two brothers, my mama, my pop, my soccer team, Coach Josh, Coach Dan, Coach Ben, Coach Nikki, obviously, Coach Adrian, Coach Jen, my psychiatrist, my therapist, my nutritionist, my dietitian, all my teachers. Okay. Miss Kate Kummer has been such a huge help, such a huge help. I'm so grateful for her. Everyone who helped me, like when I was having a hard time at ERC, they got me presents. They knew that I was going through a hard time and they knew how to support me.
So if you could give any advice to parents, friends, teachers, coaches, what's the best way to support someone? Like, what meant the most to you from the support that you received? Was it visits? Was it notes? Was it, what was it? Gifts? All of it?
All of it.
Just letting you know that they love you and they are thinking about you, right? Was super helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. So even though you didn't want to draw attention to yourself, sometimes we need that extra love just to give us support to do that hard journey, right? Did that help you?
Yes, tons.
Yeah, amazing. All right, Addie, we love you so much. We're so proud of you. And I just feel like with you knowing your story and leaning in, you're helping so many people and we're super thankful for you. Thanks for coming on, Addie.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Coaching Up Podcast with Anthony Davis and Nikki Murphy. Be sure to subscribe, like, and share this podcast with others.